Next week, it'll be the last ordinary Sunday before we start Advent. That's the season we Christians prepare for the coming of Jesus. Not only the first coming at Christmas, but just as importantly, the second coming, when Jesus will return at the end of time. I don't know whether you've noticed, but Holy Mother Church is already preparing us for the end of the year, and certainly the end of time, by selecting three readings, last week, this week, and next week, which are all taken from chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. The reading of these final 3 weeks before Advent all share a common theme: the end of time, the second coming, and judgment. Last week, we heard about the 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom to come. Only five of them were wise enough when he eventually came to have made sure they had enough oil in their lamps in case he came unexpectedly. The moral of that story is that the end, when it comes, will not be expected. The message is rammed home today by St. Paul. He repeats it. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Thieves definitely operate quietly, and they love it when their victim is not expecting them. And next week we'll hear what happens when, on the day of judgment, Christ the King asks for an account of how, during their lives, individuals treated the less fortunate when they came across them. Did they recognize Christ in the thirsty, the hungry, the naked, the sick, or the imprisoned? And this week we hear Jesus telling the parable of the talents. Each person is given responsibilities according to what they're capable of achieving. When the master eventually returns after being away a long time, he asks individuals how they've used the resources that they were given by their master. It seems that the servants are expected to be bold, to trust in their abilities, to work at being faithful servants. Playing things safe, keeping your head down, is not an acceptable excuse when the master returns in judgment. Now, this particular parable, why did Matthew include it, write it up in the way he did? Probably because many of the first generation of those Christians, they were facing a crisis of faith at the time he was writing his book. What was it that was worrying them? Well, they'd been given to understand that Jesus' second coming would be within their own lifetimes. And the problem was that by the time Matthew was writing his gospel, Jesus' original disciples, those first followers, they were beginning to die off, and there'd been no second coming. That was not what they'd been expecting. So they needed reassurance. And in this parable, Matthew is answering their concerns. Those early Christians hearing this parable would have immediately realized that the master going on a long journey was a reference to Jesus ascending to heaven. And the servants in the story, well, they represent the Christians still alive on earth, working to build up the church. When the master returns, and note that it says he came back after a long time, well, this return represents the eagerly awaited second coming. And when the master calls his servants to account, this represents that Jesus is returning for the day of judgment. I think it's also helpful in understanding this parable to understand what is meant by the word talent, because modern English means something completely different. It's not like Britain has talent on a Saturday night. It's a different kind of talent. A talent was originally a Hebrew unit of weight. It was defined as the weight in silver shekels that a man could carry. And at the time of Jesus, that weight was reckoned to be about 6,000 shekels. A shekel was one day's wages. You can work it out, given the average wage nowadays, what it would be today in our money. In our terms, one talent was worth £600,000. Does that surprise you? So the first man, given five talents, was given something like 3 million quid. That puts a completely different light on it, doesn't it? And the second man was given well over £1 million. And even the man who was given only one talent would have had something like £600,000. Wow. Matthew's readers would have also recognised the Master's generosity. He's telling us how generous God is to those who believe in him, those early Christians. And like the Master, God is showing tremendous trust in his servants on earth. They would understand, like the three men in the parable, that they are free to use their initiative in their efforts to build up the church. They are free to make their own decisions according to their own experience and circumstances, on the understanding that when they do, it should be a worthy effort, not some half-hearted, lukewarm, don't blame me kind of attitude. They're being told that Christians should be bold in their faith, trusting in guidance from the Holy Spirit, working enthusiastically to build up God's kingdom on earth by worshipping God, serving other people, and telling people about the good news. And the original language the story was written in, Greek, supports this idea. It isn't obvious in English because we're told that the man given 5 talents promptly went and traded with them. Promptly. Well, the Greek version, it also means the same as English, could be immediately, straight away. But it gives that idea of enthusiasm, a desire to do something positive, to seize the opportunity. And how did this man double his money? We're told he went and traded with the money he'd been given. The word translated from the Greek as traded was a word that had been used by Matthew earlier on in the same gospel in chapter 18, when he described how a sinful Christian, someone who drifted away from the faith, could be won back to faith. Won back. Same word as traded in the original Greek. So reading the parable in its original Greek reinforces this idea that the story is referring to committed Christians working enthusiastically to build up and protect and make the church grow. Compare that with the man given 1 talent. He simply buries it in a field. Well, actually, that was the way that people protected their money in those days. There were no bank vaults. The interesting thing is that if someone were to hide money like this, and if it went missing, under the rabbinical laws, they would not be liable for the loss. That servant has done something which is pretty safe. He cannot be blamed, whatever happens, even if the money goes missing. That tells us this man was completely unenthusiastic. He's deliberately avoided all personal responsibility. He was given a considerable fortune, £600,000. He achieved nothing. He didn't seize the opportunity being given. He just wasted his chances. He was ultra cautious. And he didn't want to risk being blamed. A lot of that about, isn't there? What does the parable of the talents tell us Christians today? First, it tells us that God is tremendously generous. We must not be complacent with what he's given to us. We must be enthusiastic and bold in the way we live out our faith. Otherwise, it just becomes empty, useless words. We learn that as Christians, we'll be held to account for what we've done in this life. Did we fearlessly and enthusiastically work to build up God's kingdom on earth? Did we follow our Lord's teaching about standing up for the poor, opposing injustice, spreading the good news? Or did we play it safe, keeping our heads down, trying to avoid doing the right thing, for the sake of a quiet life?